my name is Sky, and those are the things that I've said to myself and that other people have said to me throughout the years. I used to tell myself that my nose was too big for my face, and I was told that I'll never be capable of being loved if I don't wear enough makeup. And you see, this is what society does to us, not only kids, but adults, teens, children, and males. Everyone thinks this, and everyone gets these flaws pointed out to them. Either you want to admit it or not, you even think and say these things about yourself, and especially about other people. It's better to face the truth than to hide from it. The truth is, when this happens, people tend to look into other things to help them. Things that hurt them. So here's what I've looked as the truth. In the U.S. alone, 20 million men and 10 million men will suffer from an eating disorder. Every 62 minutes, at least one person dies due to an eating disorder. And at least 30 million of all ages and genders suffer from an eating disorder, and I am one of them. And what I'm trying to get at is the words that I've said about myself, the words that I've written about myself, will never change the way God sees me. It'll never change what God says about me, and it'll never change how God views me. First Corinthians 15 says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." God made us all in his image. He made us with flaws and imperfections because to him, that's more reasons why we're his. Psalm 139:14 says, "I will praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Romans 9:20 says, "But who you are, O man, to answer the back, God said, what is molded, say to its molder, why have you made me like this?" Hebrews 10:15 says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. It has such a great reward." And Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be confronted to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You're not in this world for nothing. Your life is meaningful. God made you for him, not for somebody else. God said, "I will be your confidence." He doesn't want you to get confident from yourself or even the world. We tend to listen and believe the world and not God. Before the world said, "You're not good enough," God said, "You're everything." Before the world pointed out something about you, God said, "This is why I love you." Before the world called you trash, roadkill, and horrible things, God said, "You are his treasure. He called you love and worth, and he called you as his own." So to end this, I will speak the truth. The world has us comparing ourselves to each other while God wants us to love each other. And this is what the devil wants. You know what? That's okay, because God loves you. And if you're feeling like this, if you felt like this, and if you might feel like this later in life, God is always here. And if you feel like this now, please talk to somebody. They won't judge you. The leaders are here to help you, and God will help you. From my own experience, don't let this happen without talking to someone. God loves you, I love you, Zach loves you, Sean loves you, and everyone else here loves you.
wonderfully and fearfully made, and we're made in his image. So it's actually an issue, when I look at the things about myself that I don't like, it's actually an issue of a discontentment in my heart with what God has given me. And so we're going to talk a little bit more at the end about a right way to think about how we are to take care of ourselves, but I'll put that on hold for now. And we're just going to talk about body image as a whole. So we've got this whiteboard up here that I want to use, and I want to do a little brainstorming of you all helping me with this. What are some of the reasons? If she gave great statistics, I'm glad, because I didn't have that prepared, and I thought about it, and I was like, I'm not going to have enough time. And she did it, so it was great how God worked that out, that she had that for us. Well, I'm going to flip this. No, I'm not, because I don't know how. Do you know how to do it? There you go. Thank you. There's another one. Push it forward. Okay. This is like a test in front of everybody. Let's see if Chris can figure it out. Okay, there we go. You know what I kind of liked about the way she erased the board? This is the kind of detail I look at. She didn't erase it perfectly. And what I liked about that is because until this side of heaven, until we get to heaven, we are always going to struggle with some of those messages. Even though you're going to grow more in this area as a Christian, there's always going to be those little pieces that are going to pop up. And I just like the fact that it wasn't perfectly erased, those messages, because they will be there. So let's talk about why it is that, what is going on? What is causing us as women and girls to have an issue with this so much? What are some of the things that kind of create that or promote that? What do you think? Okay, so what they think about you and say about you? Good. Will you come up and write that up on the board, anywhere on the board? Pick any color you want. What else? So she said friends and boys, what people say about you, how you look, like criticizing you, what? Yes. Can you go write that, please? Thank you. What else? She said photoshopping and models, you know, how they touch them up, but it looks like that's how they really look. What else? There's lots of reasons. What do you think? Yes, social media, right. Good. So we're bombarded, right, with social media, with all these pictures and photos, all the selfies, and there's filters now. They'll be coming out with more filters. It's not even legitimately the way that they're looking. There's the shooting down instead of shooting up. There's all these ways that everybody's trying to, and editing them out and finding just the right one, right? What else? What else? What do you think? Yeah, good. Can you write that? How self-focused we are. Good. What else? We're naturally focused on ourselves. What about our family? Do you have people in your family, like you're eating things, and maybe you grew up in a family where they said, stop eating that, you're going to get fat? Or she said that she's too skinny. She said, you know, Sky had that. She said, what was it, her phrase up there? Stick skinny or something like that? Stick like skinny? Skinny like a stick. So there's messages that our family tells us, too, of what the ideal is for us to be. So somebody write that. Anybody up there, will you write? Anyone want y'all write it, please? Family messages. What else? Anything else you can think of? There's lots of reasons, right? But would we say that we can blame the fact that we struggle so much about what we look like? Would we say that they are to cause for that? What do you think? Do you think it's the cause? Like we can look at that and say, yeah, you know what? I'm obsessed with the way I look and what people think about me, and I can blame it on all these things. Society, we could write, somebody write society up there. Thank you. We can blame it on all kinds of things in our mind, but you know what? The Bible says something very different. The Bible says that actually it's not an issue outside of us, even though these things are very true. These things are true. These things really do profoundly influence the way we see ourselves. Yeah, that's a hard one to spell, and you did it right. You did it right. You guys all wrote so small. It's like, social media, family. I was like thinking real big. But that's great. We would look at these things and say, these are things outside of us, and it's easy to blame it and say, well, you know what? I'm this way because this is the messages I heard my whole life. I'm not this. I need to be that to be acceptable. But the Bible would say, no, those are things that profoundly shaped you and influenced you, but actually, the problem is within us. The problem is, and I wish I had a red. Is there a red? There was a red. Oh, I see it. It's hiding. And actually, the problem says, the Bible says the problem is our heart. That it's within our hearts that we have desires, right? Fears, right? And those are the things that reside within us because the Bible says we have a choice to respond in certain ways to the things that are outside of us. The real problems within us and how we respond to the things in our world and the influences that are on us, right? So it says we can either believe those lies that the world tells us as women, that says we have to look a certain way, to have a certain body type or skin or hair or even the accomplishments in order to be acceptable, or to be a certain intelligence level in order to be okay. And the Bible says that is such a lie from the devil. Because in what God says is, and Skye talked about it, is we're made in his image. Therefore, we have value because of who we are, who created us. God is the only one who has the right to tell you who you are, because he created you and he died for you. So we have choices to reject these lies or to believe them and let it rule us and have us shape what we do in this world. So it's really important that we pay attention and not blame it on these things. We say, yep, God would agree with us. Yep, those are heavy influences. Those are temptations for you. But God has a phrase that he used in the Bible. And tell me, raise your hand if you've ever heard of this phrase. Or the fear of, do you know what I'm going to say? Man. The fear of man. It's a weird phrase, a little bit. But it's about the fear of being rejected. I'm a terrible board writer. That's why I like when you guys do it. Look how nice yours is. Look at that. All right, so fearing being rejected, or the opposite is, right, living for the approval right of others, right? Could you? I'll call you up when I'm ready. I'm not quite ready for you. But the fear of man is just a fancy way of saying living for the approval of others. Looking to other people or the world or society to tell us who we are and what it means to be acceptable and what you need to look like. And I have a verse in Proverbs that, I don't know if you have it yet, Zach, but it's in Proverbs 29:25. And it says, the fear of man, ooh, that's so fancy. Wow. All right. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. The fear of man is a snare. What's a snare? What's another word for snare? Trap. It's a trap. These are traps. And the enemy wants us to fall into that trap. And we know hunters lay traps because they want to catch something and they want to kill it. These things are traps that if you let it rule your heart, if it becomes the thing that drives you to live your way and orient your life around what the world says, it actually leads to death and destruction in ways of like depression and anxiety. But the fear of the Lord, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. So we go back to, what does God say about who we are? He says, I tell you who you are. And he says, we are his delight. In Isaiah, it says that. In 1 Peter 2:9, it talks about how we were chosen, beloved, a royal priesthood. In Zephaniah 3:17, it says he sings over us. I love that one. It's one of my favorite. He sings over us. And nothing, you will not find anywhere in Scripture where any of his love for you is dependent on how you look, what you even do for him in terms of service, whether you go to church, not even how much you accomplish or how smart you are. He loves you because he chose you. He just chose to put his love on you, to shower you with his grace and mercy. So there's freedom in that. When we understand that, there's freedom for us to have flaws and have things about us that we don't like and not allow that to hold us down or make us feel like we have to work. I feel like a hamster on the wheel is always the picture that comes to me. I got to work so hard to get everybody to love me. That's the fear of man. That will drive you into depression, anxiety, all kinds of problems, irritability, and it will shut you down really fast. But safety is found when we trust in the Lord and what he says is true about us. I was thinking about an example for you guys on me. And a year ago, and some of you know this story and some of you don't, but a year ago, I was in a store and a big heavy glass shelf fell from 5 feet off the ground. And it weighed, I went back into the store, measured the thickness, the length, the width, calculated that out and found out it was the weight of a bowling ball on its own. But at 5 feet off the ground, falling and landing on my big toe on my right foot, someone who's really good at math, because I'm terrible at math, told me there's an exponential, you know, weight that's much greater than 16 pounds. Because it all fell on the half inch wide or whatever, 1 inch wide, and didn't measure my toe. My big right toe. But when all the weight fell on that little place, it's exponentially larger than 16 pounds. In the store, it amputated my toe through my shoe. Did not cut my shoe because the glass didn't break. So it was just the force through my shoe. You look down at my shoe looks fine. But the searing pain, I knew something was really wrong. So my toe had to be amputated back. I only have a little bit left. And I thought about wearing my sandals for you, but I actually didn't want anyone to pass out if you're weak and that would gross you out. So I thought it'd be kinder if I just told you about it. But if you want to see my toe, I love to show my toe. See me after and I will show it to you. My point to you is right after the accident, that was 1 year ago, as we were coming into the spring, I didn't want to wear my sandals. I didn't want to wear my open-toed sandals because I thought it would gross people out and people would be staring at me. And it didn't take me long to realize how stupid that is. Because I look at it now, and you know what I think about it? It's a sign. It's like a symbol of God's grace in two ways for me personally. One is the surgeon told me that if that glass shelf at that kind of force had come back just a couple inches more and hit the top of my foot, I would never have walked again. Without assistance, I'd probably be in a walker at 55 years old. And yesterday I ran 4 miles. I'm running. I'm not just walking, I'm running and doing anything else I want to do. So God was gracious to me in that way. But also, it reminds me of my bigger problem than a flaw like that on the outside of my body. My biggest problem and your biggest problem is what's in my heart, and that's my sin. That's what separates me from God. And so it reminds me not just of his grace of saving me from being able to not to be able to walk, but of the greater grace, the richer sign of love and grace and mercy toward me. And that was that he took care of my sin for me, but when Jesus went on that cross and died in my place. So this is not something I hide anymore. It is something that I look to and I tell people, even people who don't know anything about God, about how gracious and merciful God was to me to save me in two ways. And I want to talk about, for you guys, something that is in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but not yet. I don't think this is super attractive, but it's the only vase I had to bring in as an example of like a vase that's kind of pretty. So this is something that is meant to sit on a shelf and to be attractive, right? That's the purpose of a vase like this, right? They make it like this so that it looks pretty, and you put it up on a shelf and you look at it and you're like, wow, that's really kind of cool. And the problem in our life is when, and God has a lot to say about this, but that when we live our lives in a way that we want to be like this vase, we want people to admire us and say, wow, like that person's either really attractive on the outside, or they've accomplished a lot, or they're really smart, or they're really talented, the people that sing up here and are gifted with those kind of talents. Like, it's about people wanting to look at me and admire something about me on the outside. God says something very different. He says, no, you're not supposed to be like that. You're supposed to be like this, and I hope it doesn't fall apart on me as I lift it out of the bag. And you'll see what I mean. He says, you know what? You're more like this dirty, broken, cracked clay pot. And he says that the very things that you don't like about yourself are like these holes and these cracks that are in this. But it's those very cracks and holes that God says allows my light and the beauty of me to shine through those imperfections in you. So we want to kind of cover up when we don't have something that we like. I told you I didn't want to wear my open-toed sandals at first, because I didn't want people staring at them and being grossed out. But God says, no. Is it shining through? Because it's awfully light in here. But it's like, ooh, I feel like it's Halloween. But it's kind of like that example there where we see that it's the very things that I don't like about myself that enable people to see Christ in me much greater than they would if I tried to shellac over it and cover it up. In fact, he has a verse that I love that I think is good for this. 2 Corinthians 4:7. And it says this: "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the surpassing power that belongs to God and not us." God doesn't want us to be people that are admired for the way we look, because how could they possibly see Christ in us if we're drawing attention to ourselves and trying to look like this perfect Christian even? And we may even want people to see Christ in us. That might be part of what we want. But if we're also wanting them to be most focused on the way that we look or the way that our talents are and our accomplishments, how are they going to see that we need Christ? My toe is that perfect example of that. So I feel like that is something that I want to encourage all of you all just to think about that. God says we're like this dirty clay pot, and God wants us not to bring attention to ourselves, but to him who shines within us. So I want to do this right now. We've got 15 minutes, and we have a 6-minute video, so that'll leave us at 5 after, and then we'll have 10 minutes. Do you think it's too much? Should I leave them in large groups, or should I break them up? Because I've got 4 groups. Where you are? Oh, no, we'd stay in here. Yeah, so just go around your small group leader right now, really quick, and we're going to queue up the video, but I want you in your small group first.